Okay, so we're on Daf Yud Gimel tonight. I'll begin a few lines from the top on Yud Gimel and Aleph, the fourth line. So the Gemara says, Amar Raphram Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chisda, the statement Raphram Bar Papa, the name of Rav Chisda, Kol Shuhu Mishum Evel, Yon Tishbav the Avel, Asur Bein Bechamin Bein Tzonin. So we're talking about the prohibition of Rechitza, of bathing. So Rav Chisda teaches, if the underlying prohibition for bathing has something to do with avelus, with mourning, like tishbav, or certainly a person who's, you know, mamish in avelus and shiva, so he's asur being bechamin v'misonin. He's prohibited to bathe in hot water or cold water. In other words, all bathing is prohibited. But if the prohibition for bathing is just to abstain from pleasurable activity, yon tanit sibur. So tanit sibur means, we discussed in the previous in the Masechta and yesterday's daf, that sometimes the Bezdin would decree a tanit sibur, and in the tanit sibur they would, you know, provide that all the inuyim are prohibited, and rechitz is one of the inuyim. That's for tanud. B'chamin asur b'tzonin mutar. So then you're not allowed to bathe in hot water, but you could bathe in cold water. So there are two prongs to Rav Chisda's din. One is the avelus aspect, when all bathing is prohibited, whether it's chamin or tzonein. And the other is when it's just tanug, and then only the hot water is prohibited. So the Gemara says, Amar Ravidi Bar Avin, Afanan Amitaninim. Ravidi Bar Avin wants to try to bring proof to Rav Chisda from a din in our Mishnah. He says, Afanan Amitaninim, Naolin Hamer Chatzaot. This is talking about the second prong of Rav Chisda. It says, the Amar Moshe, are you looking at the daf or are you watching the screen? What's going on there? Anyway, so, okay, thank you, Amar Moshe. I like everybody's full attention. So he says, can you turn the screen off? Thank you. Okay, so he says, Amar Avidi Barav and Afananam Sinina Benoelin and Omer Chatzaot. So it says, on the Tanit Sibur, we close the bathhouses. The bathhouses are where you have, obviously, hot water. So the implication, the proof that he wants to adduce is that only the hot water is prohibited. The cold water is permissible. That's what he thinks. He says, "So Amalei Abaye," and that would be approved for Rav Chisda. So Amalei Abaye. So Abaye says to Ravidi Bar Avin, "Bibitzonin asur soken an horli by light the midnight." So what would you say? In other words, if cold water was prohibited on Tanit Sibur. So what should the Tanit Mishnah say? That we're going to plug up the rivers? You can't say we're going to plug up the rivers. So how else is he supposed to express the idea that you can't bathe? Example of it, not necessarily that it has to be hot water. Rav Shisha braids Rav Idi. So Rav Shisha, the son of Rav Idi, said, Abba hakatash. In other words, Rav Idi was the one who deduced the proof, and Rav Idi's son, Rav Shisha, is explaining what was going through his father's mind. Mithi tana asur b'ruchitza. The Mishnah said that on a tanit sibur is asur b'ruchitza. You're not allowed to bathe. So just asur b'ruchitza, left alone, I'd say you can't bathe in hot water, you can't bathe in cold water. It's asur b'ruchitza. Nol in America, so lamali. Why did the Tana have to add on that we close the bathhouses? What is that adding on to the equation? Elav shvamina b'chamin asur b'toni mutar. So the proof would be that he throws in that example because he's teaching that hot water is good and not cold water. Okay, nice to have everybody. Nice to have you. Welcome. Okay, let me just repeat again. So we have from Rav Chisda. It has a two-pronged halacha. The first halacha is if bathing is related to avelus, and certainly example of that, since all bathing is prohibited, whether it's chamin or tzonin, if the prohibition against bathing is related to just tanug, that I shouldn't have pleasurable experience, that would be like kind of tanit tzibur, not our taniot tzibur, but tanit tzibur doesn't declare because there's not enough rain, or there is no rain, so then is only the hot water is prohibited. And then we had a proof to corroborate that latter part from Rav Chisda. Okay, any questions, comments, close and ended so far? Everybody good? We're on Yud Gimel and Aleph around 15 lines down, okay? 13a, okay? Around 15 lines down. All right, let's go further. Any questions, comments? Okay, good. So let's take a look. So now the Gemara says, Should we say, now, so we had a proof to the second prong for Rav Chisda. So now the Gemara tries to bring a proof to the first prong. The first prong is that if it's related to velos, then all bathing is prohibited. So let me mishaylei. Should we say we have a proof to Rav Chisda from the following braisa? The braisa says, "Kolchai b'tvilot, tovlin kedarkan, leim b'tishba b'in b'yom kippurim." That anyone who is mechuyev in tvila, means let's say a woman was a nida and now is leil tvilata, or she was yoledet, now it's the first time she can go to the mikvah. So they can be tovel kedarkan, they can bathe, you know, immerse themselves in a mikvah in the normal fashion, whether it's tishbav or yom kippur. So the Gemara says that's in the braisa. So b'mai, what type of water are we talking about bathing on tishbav and yom kippur? If you say maybe it's talking about bathing in a heated mikvah. So tefillah b'chamin mi'ika. Is there such a thing as a heated mikvah, at least as Zman Chazal, shuvin inhu? In other words, if I would heat up the water in a pot, it would be ma'im shuvim. So that's what the other questions you can ask on this, but the but that's where the Gemara takes it. Elav b'tzonein. So the Gemara takes it that the Bryce is talking about that the chayvit bilo get a special dispensation that they can immerse themselves in the mikvah, even though it was cold water. It means the dispensation is just an unusual situation. But most people, 99% of the population, they're not allowed to bathe in cold water. So that would be a raya tishbav. So that's a raya, if this is true, that would be a raya to Rav Chisda's first prong. Amar Rav Chana Batina, lo nistrachei l'tamei tveria. Rav Chana Bar Kachina, he's deflecting the proof. Again, Rav Chisda had a halacha that if it's because of a velos, bathing in hot water, we have a riot because the Tana of the Braisa says that only the Chayve Tvilo can immerse themselves, we think, in cold water in a mikvah on Tishba. Everybody else is prohibited. So I'm Rav Chana Bar Kachina, lo nistrachei l'tamei tveria. Rav Chana Bar Kachina says that it could be the Tana of the Braisa is talking about hot water, but the hot springs, the naturally hot springs of Tiberias, which could be a kosher mikvah, but it's hot.
He says, so it's saying that they get a special dispensation that they could do this, and everyone else not.
But cold, we think you could do it. That could be one way to understand it. If that's the case, then we don't have a proof through Rav Chisda. This was punk for care.
It's a question against Rav Chisda. So the Gemara says, Ihachi Emesepa.
If you assume that the pshat in the braisa up till now is that they're immersing the chami tveria, let's go to the seifa, the end of the braisa, and see how that plays out.
Amr Chanina Skanakonim, Chanina Skanakonim said, that
he, Reb Chanina, disagrees with the Tanakama, and he says mourning to the Beis HaMikdash is significant enough that a person should give up immersion in the mikvah one day during the year.
And
if you assume the pshat in the Mishnah is the only thing that's in play is the hot mikvah, but the cold mikvah everybody agrees you can go to, it says you're chatz betzonin. So he wouldn't say you have to give it up. He'd say you should immerse in the cold water. But if the Tanakhama is saying that that nobody can immerse, it's just the chayvi tevilot can immerse in cold water, so then we don't say Rav Chanina's going to call him.
So if that's true, then the proof would be reinstated. So Amra Papa Ba'atrilo Shliach Tzonei. The Papa says, no, I could still say that the Braisa is talking about Tiberia. And Lukhina says, in a Kinami, according to this way of understanding, you'd be allowed to immerse in cold water. But it's talking about you don't have a cold water mikvah there. You only have a hot water mikvah. He'd end up giving up, according to Reb Chanina, the Rechita in the mikvah, you know, one day during the year.
Anyways, the bottom line is we attempted to bring a proof to Rav Chisda, but we weren't successful. In other words, it could be it's a proof or it could be not a proof. Okay. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything you did so far?
Okay, let's go further. Okay, so Tashma. So now we're going to try to bring another proof on this topic. So we're quoting from another braisa, Tashmak Shamrua Surba Malacha. Now here's talking about a Tanit Sibur. And Tanit Sibur means not like what we call a Tanit Sibur, but it means the Tanis that the Bezin declares
in, you know, so they get rain. Shamru Asur B'Malach, we learned in the Mishnah that when you come to the middle, actually the Mishnah said you get to the middle series, right? The middle series of the Yod. So we said that it's Asur B'Malach on the five Yudim. When they said Malach is prohibited on Tanit Sibur, they said Malach is only prohibited during the day, but at night it's permissible. And they hold that on the side. That's one halacha by Malacha. Second halacha, Ushamru Asur B'Nila Sandal, when they said you're not allowed to wear leather shoes on the Tanit Sibur, Lo Amru El Be'ir, V'Abaderech Mutar. They only said that it's when you're in the city, but when you're in the way, you could walk with it. Like Kate said, you'd say the Derech Noel. When you go off on the Derech, you would wear the shoe. If not, Seir Choleitz. You enter the city, you take off the shoe. So one din about Malacha, one din about Ilat Sandal, and then the third din relates to Rechitza, which is what we're after. Ushamru Asur Rechitza, when Chazal teach us that during the Tanit Sibur, you're not allowed to bathe, Lo Amru El Kol Gufo. He only said his whole body can't bathe on a Tanit Sibur. About Panav Yad Abragel Mutar, but his face, his hands, and his feet he could wash. V'chena Tamot Seva Menuda Uba Avel. And the same halacha would pertain to a person who's been placed in nidui, next communication, and the Avel, and the mourner. So now, my love, Akulu, is it not, let's focus on the Avel, is it not that all the dinim that we learned in the Brisa, i.e., about Malacha, Nidara Sandal, and especially Rechitza, applied to the Avil? He says, Uvamaya Skinan, and what would be the case that we're talking about in the Braisa? Ilay Bechamin, Panav Yadav Raglav Misharu. He says, if it's talking about bathing in hot water, i.e., Panav Yadav Raglav, so would that be permissible? Ba'amar Rav Sheshet, Avil Asur B'lo Shid Etzvo Bechamin. Rav Sheshet teaches me that an Avil can even stick his finger into hot water. So it can't be that, and Abel is linked to the whole thing, it can't be some hot water. Elav Bitzonin. So Lechora, the Brisa here, is talking about bathing in Tzonin. Now the way Rashi takes it, questions as follows. So if I say that it's Tanav Yadav Raglav Mutar, so it means that Sibur, you're allowed of Raglav in Sony, right? One second, let me put this in a second. If it's honey, it's right. But that would mean that to so Rashi says five lines from the bottom, Shvamina the Tanit or Sutra Fosco Gufo up to the Sony. The future of the Raphim Bar Papa. So Raphim Bar Papa said, according to Rav Chisda, then on a Tanit Sibur, which is just Tanug is prohibited, you're allowed to bathe. That's what Rav Chisda's din is. Body in cold water. But the implication of this Brisa, the way we understand the Brisa, is you can't bathe your whole body in cold water. You just, the only thing you could do. So that would be a kasha against Rav Chisda, if this is the correct shot in the Brisa. He says, so the Gemara says Allah, it's stoning. So the Gemara says lo, the olam b'chamin. So the Gemara says no. The Brisa is really talking about prohibition against, you know, washing one's body in hot water, which Rav Chisda says, and that would be the same thing. Would be a kasha on Rav Chisda. With a kashala b'chena tamo seva menuda ba'avel, he said if it's talking about bathing in hot water, how could it be the avel would have a heter to wash his hands, feet, and hands, feet and face in hot water, which you can't do. He says, "Va'avel asha arakoi." When it talks about the avel, it's talking about the avim. In other words, when the Brisa says that the b'cheva menuda b'cheva, it's talking about neither a sandal and malacha, not talking about rechit. So, Tripkista from this Brisa, but the question has any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Everybody good? I should mention this. One interesting Rashi. Let me fill in the Rashi where he says. 1 minute. If you look at Rashi, the fourth wide line downstairs, Shamru Asur B'Malacha, Everybody see the fourth white line. From here, it sounds like Rashi says, that you're allowed to do malacha on the night of Tisha B'Av, but ain't bitul al bayom. Person only has to abstain from malacha during the day. Well, ain't a farce min at the bar. We don't publicize that. All right. Interesting ha'ara. Interesting line in Rashi. All right. I'm going to move further. Okay. So everybody still with me? So we're still working with Rav Chista. Rav Chista's two dinim are that if it's in terms of rechitza, so if it's rechitza is connected to avelos, so then bein b'chamin bein sonein is prohibited. If it's rechitza, it's just related to, you know, prohibition and tanug, it's only b'chamin is prohibited. That's what we think. All right, let's see back further in the Gemara. So the second wide line. Tashma, the Amar Rabbi Abba HaKohen, from Rabbi Yossi HaKohen. Rabbi Abba HaKohen says, the name Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Ma'aseh Meik Banav Shel Rabbi Yossi Ben Chanina. There was an incident, now it seems like Rabbi Yossi Ben Chanina had two sons, and they both died. Brachat Besonein Bol Shiva. And he bathed in cold water the entire Shiva. So that seems like a direct contradiction for Rav Chista's halakha. Rav Chista said that if the prohibition, you're not allowed to bathe in hot water, you're not allowed to bathe in cold water. Here, this Rabbi Yossi ben Rav Chanina, he bathed in cold water. Welcome, Fern. We're four lines from the bottom on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay? So he says, so the Gemara says, Hatam shetatu avilav haba. Over there was extenuating circumstances where he had one death, and then no sooner did he get out of the Shiva from one son, the next son died, and he had another Shiva. So he had one Shiva on top of another Shiva, and we're going to see that when you have one Shiva on top of another Shiva, there's a dispensation in halacha. So we think the dispensation, we think, would extend to bathing in cold water. Tanya, Takui Bilab himself, for example, if he has one avelos on the heels of the other avelos, nobody should ever have that. So his hair gets heavy, in other words, the hair is too long, he's allowed to cut it with a razor. He can wash clothes with water. In other words, normally you can't launder clothes. So Amrav Chista, the tar of a lobe misparayim. So Chista says he can cut his hair with a razor, but not with scissors. You have to do shinui. B'mayim, and he can wash his clothes b'mayim, but a little bit netter, a little bit chol. He can wash his clothes in water, but not netter and chol, which are cleansing agents. And Rashi says netter is earth or stone, and chol is sand, but that would be what they would use to clean the clothes. But the point is that you have a dispensation. So we think that dispensation would extend also to bathing in cold water, and avelus following the other avelus. All right? Of Chista, but we've deflected it. All right, let me just take a pause. Everybody good here? Any questions? Everybody happy? Okay, so I'm just repeating again. So we're dealing with Rav Chista's halacha. So Rav Chista's halacha is that if you have a prohibition against bathing and it's based on avelus, then I can't bathe in hot water or cold water. If I have a prohibition against bathing, that's just because of a prohibition against tanud, pleasure, as when the Besdin declares a tanud tzibur like Bahrain, so rechis prohibited, that's only in hot water, okay? So we're able to deflect most of the questions against Rav Chista. And, all right, let's see further in the Gemara. Now, we're two lines from the bottom on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Amar Rava. Avail, father fits its own name for Shiva. So Rava says a different halacha. This is different than what Rav Chista says. Rava says that Avail is permitted to bathe in Sonein during the Shiva. So Rav Chista said not, and Rava says, yeah, you could bathe in Sonein during the Shiva. You need to have a bistra b'chama. Just like the Avail is permitted to eat meat and drink wine, so too he's permitted to bathe with Sonein. So it means Rava is comparing the prohibition to bathing to the prohibition against eating meat, you know, eating. In other words, so if I can eat my regular food, I can bathe in Sonein. And whereas Rav Chista had compared it to Tishbav, like the Avel is like Tishbav. So Tishbav is prohibited, so the Avel prohibited. All right, Meifei. So this we ask a question now against Rava. Again, Rava says that the Avel is allowed to bathe the Tony. So Meifei, turn page, we're on the top line on Yugimel and Beis. Everybody with me? 13B, the top line. Meifei, we're going to learn a Braisa. The Braisa says, Ein ha-bogeret, Rasha Alan Avelet Atzma, Ebel Aviha. That a bogeret is a girl who's 12 and a half years old. She's not allowed to, you know, make herself unattractive during her father's avelus. So Rashi has two pshat. What does it mean, father's avelus? So either it means that the father is sitting avelus for maybe his own father or somebody else. Look at Rashi's fourth line. He says, or he says that the father's son died. The father has a son died. So presumably it would be this girl's, but I don't know if that would be her brother, but maybe a stepbrother. He says, Hinami Shemaid Aviyah Mamash, or that the father died. Even though I assume he meant in the second case where she's a Tiva Velus, she's not allowed to be Menabel. So the way I understand the Gemara is that in the Halacha, there's an idea, I know some Sephardim do this as well, is when if your parent is sitting Shiva, then in the presence of the parent, you observe the Bnei Avelus. And the Sephardim have it like that. And we're coming up to Moikatan, we'll see in the Gemara, has an idea like that. That's what I thought the idea was in the first Pshat in Rashi. Or it means the father actually died. But either way, the point being that when she's a bogeret, she shouldn't make herself unattractive. I guess they want people like a shidduch, you know, with things like that. So she shouldn't make herself unattractive. He says, Hanara Rasha. But if she's a Nara, now again, when he says that she's not permitted, so the Reis says, he look at the first Tosfos, the second line, El Hakimar in the bogeret Chayevet. In other words, the way Tosfos says she's not obligated to do these. We'll see what it's talking about. It might be talking about bathing. But someone would say, no, but Dafka, she can't do it. Hanara Rasha. But if she's a Nara, the way Tosfos says she is Nara is when she's between 12 and 12 and a half. My love, Virachita. We think that this Brisa is talking about bathing. So meaning, if she's a Bogeret, which is 12 and a half and older, that she has dispensation to bathe during the Shiva, as opposed to everybody else. Uvamai, and what type of bathing are we talking about on the third line on Yud Gimel Beis? Hilei Bechamin, if we're talking about bathing in hot water, in a Bogeret Rasha'ah, so we said in the Braisa that the Bogeret is not entitled to bathe, but Amarav is not entitled to withhold the bathing. Rav Chista says that an Avel is not allowed to stick his finger in hot water. So we don't think there would be a dispensation. If the halacha is that an Avel can't even stick his finger in hot water, we don't think that there would be a dispensation that the Bogeret could stick her whole body in hot water. So that we don't think is a tenable shot in the Braisa. Elav Bitsonim. Is it not that it's talking about sonein? So if it's talking about sonein, the implication that the bogeret gets a dispensation to bathe in the else is not bathing. So this would contradict Rava. So let me just repeat my. So Rava, and Rava said that. So now we have the Braisa, and we shot in the Braisa is that there's this special dispensation for the bogeret to bathe in cold water, but it means everybody else not. So that's a kash against Rava. He says, so the Gemara says, lo, akihulu pirchus. So the Gemara says, no, I could say that Braisa is not talking about bathing at all. That Braisa is talking about kihul means putting like cosmetics on the eye, and pirchus like braiding her hair. So those are things that make her look nicer, but it's got nothing to do with bathing. So it's got nothing, that's out the door. Okay, so we had a question against Rava, and we've deflected the question. All right, now we're on line six. Lema Messiah, should I say that I have a support from Rava? Now, this is the same incident that we mentioned on Amud Aleph. So the same incident that was a question against Rav Chista is going to be about this this Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Hanina, who bathed, you know, in cold water. So Rav Chisda said he can't bathe. So that was a kasha against Rav Chisda. So now the incident, which was a kasha against Rav Chisda, could be a support for Rava. So let's take a look back on the Gemara. Lema v'sayalei, the Amar Rabbi Abba ha-Kohen, Mishum Rabbi Yossi ha-Kohen, Ma'aseh umeit banav shu Rabbi Yossi bar Hanina. There was an incident where the sons of Rabbi Hanina died. He had two sons for Shiva, and he bathed himself during the Shiva in cold water. So that would seem to support Rava. Rava says that Avel is allowed to bathe in cold water. So Amri, they said, Hatam shetaku Avelav za'achar zeh. That, the same answer we gave before, you know, to deflect the question against Rav Chisda, now we're using that same answer to deflect the proof for Rava. It says over there, it was, you know, extenuating circumstances where he had one Avelus followed immediately by another Avelus. He says, and that's why I could say he was allowed to bathe, not necessarily supporting Rava. The Tani, we learn the Braisa, Takui Avelav Zachar Zeh, that if he has Avelus on the other Avelus, Tachpid Saro make go batar. It gets heavy, it means his hair is getting long, he's allowed to cut it with a razor. Umachabes washed his clothes with clothes. So he says, but here he can wash with water. So Amar Rav Chisda, the tar of a little bit of Mitzrayim. Rav Chisda says he can cut his hair with a tar, with a razor, but not with scissors. You don't have to make a shinui. He says, and with the clothes, he washes it in water, but a neter kol means a cleansing agent, which we said is some sort of like earth and sand. Veloba ahol. Ahol also was like a cleansing agent. I thought it was a type of soap, whatever ahol is. Okay, I don't think they mentioned ahol on the first time, but did they? No. It's interesting that he threw it in here. Okay. Now, all right. Now, Ikeda Amri, others say, I'm a Rava, that Rava said, Avel Asur B'Toni Kol Shiva. So the second statement of Rava is just the opposite. So the first statement of Rava is an Avel is allowed to bathe in Sonein. The second statement of Rava is an Avel is prohibited to bathe in Sonein or Kol Shiva. So my Shina Mibas Rabbi Ayin, so why is it different from the fact, remember, Rava had a tsushtel, you know, relating to what the Abel is allowed to eat. So the Abel is allowed to eat meat and drink wine. So why should that be? Why is the Abel allowed to eat meat and drink wine, but he can't bathe in cold water? It says, he says eating meat and drinking wine is to allay his anxiety, but bathing doesn't allay his anxiety. So that's the only thing that the Abel is allowed to do. All right. Lema Masailei. So now the Gemara says, should we say the following incident supports Rava, the second version of Rava, which is that the Avel is prohibited to bathe in Sonein Kol Shiva. Lemasailei, in a Bogeret Rasha Ol and Avel Atzma, but a Bogeret, which means a young girl who's age 12 and a half or older, is not allowed to, you know, make herself unattractive during the Shiva. We said that her father was either sitting Shiva or the father had died, in which case she's sitting Shiva. Hanara Rasha. But if she's a Nara, if she's less than age 12, or I should say, a Bogeret is over 12 and a half. So the Nara is between 12 and 12 and a half. So the Hanara Rasha. So the Nara, she would, you know, make herself unattractive. So Bumai, what are we talking about? If we say that this halacha is talking about, this Bryce is talking about bathing in hot water in the Bogeret Rasha. So you said the Bogeret is not allowed to, you know, to make herself unattractive, so she can bathe in hot water. But Rav Chisda says an Avel is not allowed to even stick his finger in Kamin. So it's not likely the dispensation would extend totally that she could bathe her whole body in Kamin. If the halacha is an Avel, no one can even stick his finger in the hot water. Elav B'Tzonein. Is it not that it's talking about that she, the Bogeret, could bathe in cold water, but everybody else cannot? And if that's the pshat, that would support the second version of Rava. So the Gemara says, lo, akichulu pirkus. So the Gemara says, no, I could say that the Braisa has got nothing to do with bathing at all. The Braisa, when it says that the Bogeret is not allowed to make herself unattractive, it's talking about kichul applying, you know, mascara or, you know, to her eyes, or pirkus, like braiding her hair.
but it's nothing to do with bathing. All right, now, Amar Rav Chista, Zonomer and Abel Asur B'Tichboset Kol Sheva. So from the fact that the Bogeret is not allowed to, or the Bogeret has a dispensation, but normally you can't do Kichu, you can't do Pirkus. So the way Rashi understands it, you can see that the Avel is not allowed to wash their clothes the whole Shiva. In other words, just like the kich, just like the kichul and the pirkus, you know, makes a person attractive, so too the washing the clothes makes a person attractive. Let's take a look at Rashi on that. It's around the eighth narrow line upstairs. So we think the same. So it means she the Bogaret has a special dispensation, but normally not. So you can't normally wash clothes. And here's the most important line. And the Avel is not allowed to wash his whole body in hot or cold water during the entire Shiva. But he can wash his hands, his face, and his feet in cold water. But to anoint himself, even a kol shu, a small amount is prohibited. But if it's removed filth, that's permissible. Okay, who's got questions, comments to us on anything we did so far in the Daf? Such a quiet group here tonight. Fern, you have anything for me? You're good?
No, because I came in the middle. I have to go back and do the Amud Aleph.
Well, anyway, but the basic idea is that that we had the halacha on Amud Aleph from Rav Chista, that if the, we're talking about the prohibition of rechitza, so if the prohibition is from, so you can't wash b'chamin or b'tzoni, that was Rav Chista's.
Right. What's the basis for it?
Experience, then just chamin is prohibited. Like say the Tanya Tzibur that the Bezdin declared. It's not our Tanya Tzibur. So then it's only hot water, not cold water. Okay. All right. And then we had Rava.
What's the basis for not bathing during Shiva? I mean, I know that's what we all do, but why don't we bathe during Shiva?
Yeah. So the Gemara has Pesukim. That coming up is Moed Katan. I think next Masechta is Megillah, and then we have Moed Katan and Daf Yomi. So in 2 months we'll be doing Moed Katan. We'll be going through the sugyas. But I think the Gemara learns that there are like in other words, a person in Avelus, in other words, it's like the Rab explains, like the Chitzoniot have to affect the Panimiot. In other words, it's like you have to comport yourself to be in a state of Avelus. So when a person doesn't, you know, he doesn't, you know, cut his hair. He's not like an Avel. So he feels sad inside. He feels discomforted. And that leads to, you know, I mean, the Rav said sometimes you have where the Chitzoniot affect the Panimiot, and sometimes where the Panimiot is like, you know, reflected the other way around. But either way, the idea is that in Avelus, like we're mourning for somebody's passing. So there are certain ways that we express that mourning. That's one way to express it. But I think there are psukim that the Gemara learns with that. Okay? All right. Now, let me just get a safer, and I'll be back in 30 seconds. Ugh. All right. Ugh. Okay, please. All right, we're back in the Gemara. Okay, so we're on the base. Okay, everybody with me? All right, now we're moving slightly to a slightly different topic. It says, Slosat Tani Taheshi Mad Karina. So where do we mention the tefillah for the Tanis, which is Anenu? Where do we mention that? So Adrei Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yitzchak Rei. So Rabbi Yehuda was like leading Rabbi Yitzchak on a stroll, is where the article said it. The Darash, Yachid Shkibil of Tanit. If a Yachid accepted upon himself a Tanit, mit Palel Shal Tanit, he'll say Aneinu. But Heichan Omra, where will the Yachid say Aneinu? Being Goel Rofe, between the bracha of Goel Yisrael and Rafaenu. So that would mean it's a separate bracha, right? In other words,
If it's a separate bracha, we have a bracha, bracha Hashem. Is machloket poskim? Is it a haoneh b'yitzara or a haoneh liyamo Yisrael b'yitzara? I think it's machloket between the Mishnah Berurah and the Ruach HaShulchan on how to do the chafimus bracha on that. So the so that's the way. And Rashi says ben goel rofei bracha b'tnei. So that's the way that Rabbi Yehuda taught his son Rabbi Yitzchak. So Matkibla Rabbi Yitzchak, our version is that Rabbi Yitzchak responds on the side, here's the Rashi, where Rabbi Yosef says, Matkibla Rabbi Yitzchak, so if it's Rabbi Yitzchak, it's his son. So the son is asking a strong clash against the father. But he yachid kobe bracha la'atzmo. Is he yachid, does he have a koach? Let's see Rashi, the 10th narrow line upstairs in Rashi. But he yachid hashub kokach, shumitakin lo bracha la'atzmo, lo sipit filato. Is the yachid so chashuv that he's kovei a bracha for himself to add a special bracha? He says back in the Gemara, Ela Amar Rabbi Yitzchak b'shomei tefillah. Rabbi Yitzchak says the Yachid is going to say Aneinu in the bracha of shomei tefillah. He says V'chein Amar Rav Sheshet b'shomei tefillah. Rav Sheshet says also in shomei tefillah. All right, so we're gonna tease this out soon, but I think that's the way we're familiar with in terms of halakha b'maisa. When we daven on our own, on a tani, here I mean a tani tzibur, like our taniyot. So we as yechidim say aneinu, we Ashkenazim say aneinu in mincha, in shemei tefillah, and the shlich tzibur says this is a bracha b'fnei atzmo at shacharis and at mincha. Okay, that's the way we normally do it, and our Sephardic friends do it as a aneinu in shacharis as well. And the sheath in the chaber is you say aninu at mariv and shakras and mincha. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. So meife on this we ask a kasha from the following brisa. The brisa says ein ben yachid letzibur. There's no difference between a yachid, an individual, and a tzibur. And we have to clarify what's a yachid, what's a tzibur. El shezemet palel shmona esrei, shezemet palel shai esrei. Now when it says shmona esrei, so today. And Bizman Chazal, there's really 19 brachot in the Shmona Esrei, right? Because they added the brachot a long time ago. Right. So Rashi explains that it's still called Shmona Esrei. So when it says Shmona Esrei, it means our regular Shmona Esrei, which happens to have 19 brachot, but it means the regular Shmona Esrei. So the Brisa says, El Shizemet Palel Shmona Esrei, the Akedavin Shmona Esrei, Bizemet Palel Tsha Esrei. And the Sibur, Davin's Shai Esrei 19, because there's an extra bracha, and the bracha would be for that Aneinu. Let's take a look at Rashi. He says, Shai Esrei, the Kabbalah ben Gol Rofei, Stam Tefillah Kari Shmona Esrei. So Tefillah, which means like the Amida, he calls Shmona Esrei, the Birchav Loshim Biyab Tefillah, the Mibra Bracha. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So he says, so the Gemara says, My Yachid, My Tzibur. What does the Tana mean when he says, that refers to Yachid, refers to Tzibur. Ilema Yachid Mamash, if Yachid means Shuto, the person is davening on his own, but Tzibur, Shliach Tzibur, so maybe Yachid means each person in their own tefillah. And maybe Tzibur means the Shliach Tzibur in Chasar HaShatz. Hadi Shaisrei, Esrin Ba'arbahavu. Are there 19 brachot? Does he add one bracha? He adds, and we'll see, the Mishnah is going to learn on Shabbos. I hope people will come to the Daf Yomi this Shabbos. I assume it'll probably be around 3:05. I'm not sure, but it should be around 3:05 p.m. So the Mishnah is going to explain that on a Tanit Sibur, they were talking an extra 6 brachot. So the Shliach Sibur would say 24 brachot, not 19 brachot. Elav Hachi Kamar. Is it not that what the price is saying? Ein ben Yachid the Kilav Tanit. There's no difference in Yachid who's Makabel Tanis. He says, Ein ben Yachid the Kilav Tanit Yachid. A yachid who accepted upon himself a private fast, liyachid shmilav tanit tzibur. Now, this line, the way the Masechta Gemara explained it was, he's a yachid that's davening with a tzibur on a fast day, which makes it a little bit easier. And in the Arsh, they had a little bit of a different shot. He says, Ela shizemit palel shmona esrei, the yachid who's davening, we think, on his own, on his private tanis, is going to daven shmona esrei. And the one who's davening with a whole tzibur that's fasting is going to say 19 brachot. That's what we think. If that's the pshat, it would come out that a yachid is Koveya Bracha for himself. In other words, I'm davening my own private Shmona Esrei, and I'll say under certain circumstances, when it's a Tana Tzibur, I'll say Aneinu as a separate Bracha. So if that's the case, so that would be supporting Rabbi Yehuda and against Rabbi Yitzchak. So the Gemara says, "Lo, the only Malach Shlich Tzibur." Says, "No, I can say the Pshat is the way we thought originally. Yachid means a private individual, and Tzibur means the Shlich Tzibur. The Kashalach Shlich Tzibur Esrim Va'arba Matzlei, and he said, but how could it be the Shlich Tzibur? We learned that the Shlich Tzibur has to do 24 brachot, not 19 brachot. So the Gemara says, but Shlosh Taniot Rishonot Vileka Esrim Va'arba." That the Brisa is talking about, again, in the series of fasts, when people don't have rain, remember, first we learned to the Mishnah that the Yechidim fast. That's one thing. But then the Beis Din goes there three taniot, and then people are allowed to work and things like that. So in those fasts, the first three fasts, the Lekta Esrim Ba'arba. So you don't say the 24 brachot. In other words, you have the first fast, the middle fast, last fast. You have three, and then seven. So we're talking about the first three fasts. The first three fasts aren't 24 brachot. So if that's the case, so Rabbi Yitzchak is you know, on all fours, and Yachid would never be Kovei Bracha himself, and only the Shlich Tzibur, as part of the Tzibur, would have 19 brachot. The Gemara says, below, you mean that there aren't 24 brachot in the first fasts of the series, but we're going to learn and a different price that we're going to have in one line where it says there's no difference. We'll see it. There's no difference between the first three fasts and the middle three fasts. Except the first three, you're allowed to do malacha. You're allowed to do work. And the second group, you can't do malacha. The implication, we think in the middle, say 24 brachot, so it's A and B, there's no difference between A and B, between the first three and the middle three, except for malacha, that means that they must say 24 brachot, even in the first three fasts. So that Hesber is going out the door. So the Gemara says, I could say Tana Bashir. So I could say that there are differences, and the Tana left it out. So sometimes the Gemara has a list of cases, and the Gemara says the Tana was on an exhaustive list. So my shir, the high shir. So if I say the Tana left things out, he doesn't leave one thing out. He leaves a couple of things out. That's the way he works. So what else did he leave out, if you're going to say he left it out? The two, the ein bein katani, the difference to which the language ein bein really sounds like there is no difference. When we say Tana b'shir, like he'll have a list of things, this, that, or the other. But ein bein sounds like this is it for the differences. So what are we going to do? Is there still a way to sustain Rabbi Yitzchak's position that the Braisa was talking about the difference between the Shlich Tzibur and the Yachid? Ela Tana b'Isuri Kamayri b'Tfilut Lomayri. So the Gemara says, I could say the Tana in the last Braisa is just addressing himself to the Isurim. In other words, those things that are prohibited on a Tanis. He's not addressing himself to the tefillot. In Hachinami, the Tana could concede that for the first three taniot, there are not 24 brachot. And when he says ein bein, he's talking about the prohibitions on the Tanis. He's not talking about the tefillot. That's the first answer. And then, four lines from the bottom, the ibay nema, or else I could say, the emsa'itanami lomitzali esrim arba. Or else I could say, that maybe the middle fast, you also don't say the 24 brachot. So if the middle fast, you don't say the 24 brachot, the whole question b'chal then gets off the ground. Below, you don't say it. V'hatanya ein bein shloshniyo l'sheva achronot. We have a different price that says there's no difference between the middle three fasts and the last seven. Again, it's 3, 3, 7. Ela sheva elu matrin v'noel nechanuyot. Except, in the last fast, the last seven, where matria we call out, and the Gemara in tomorrow's daf is going to get it what it means matria, but it'll be matria with, you know, it could be with anenu or and shofrot. I think the Gemara says, So in tomorrow's daf, the Rabbi says the shofrot, And Rehuda Rebbe Shimon Bar Shila says in Rab Ba'aneinu, but it comes out that, one second. Yeah. So everybody agrees that there would be Matri with Shofrot, and the question is it with Aneinu as well? So he says, El Shabela Matrian, the Noelin and Achanuyot, with the last seven when we close the stores. Halachol de Brain Zeb is a Shabin. So for everything else, everything is the same. That's what it sounds like. So the same would mean that just like you have 24 brachot in the last seven, you have 24 in the middle one as well. Maybe you say the Tana didn't make an exhaustive list. Ein bein katani. Ein bein, we said, is language, sounds like that. That's it. He says, so the Gemara says, Batisbara, ein bein dafka. So did you think that ein bein means literally? He says, on the top line on Yudal and Aleph, Bahashir Teva, we see the Tana left out Teva. In other words, on the last Taniyot, the last seven Taniyot, you take the Aron into the Rehob, into the street. And the Tana didn't mention that, so he did leave out the Teva. So you see that it was not an exhaustive list. So the Gemara says, Inishim Teva lav shiurahu. Leaving out the Teva is not considered leaving anything out. Mili de tzina katani, mili de parasilo katani. I could say the Tana is only teaching me things that are done privately inside the shul. He's not teaching me things that are done publicly. All right. So I think this is we're going to be around the end of the daf for today. Let me just see if I have any questions or any
questions.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do questions and we'll do sheets and we'll talk. Okay. What's up? What do you got?
Did they ever go through a 337? Did it ever happen?
I don't know, but I'm sure it did. I'm not sure, but
I'm sure they had droughts like that.
I would certainly think so. I would certainly think so. We'll see. We'll see. The Gemara is going to have where isn't it here with about Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Blazer? No, the Gemara is going to have one second. Anyway, I think they did. Anyway, what other questions do you have? Any other questions? What? Right. Yeah. Wait. I don't understand what the question is. You said about the rain being left over. You asked for the Gemara. So I said about the Shkach of Hashem. What is it you want to say? Yeah. So when people don't do the mitzvot, the bad things happen. All right. Now. Let me just
what do you got? I just wanted to say that you were talking about the being marach by Shemayin and Esrei, by having more brachas by Shemayin and Esrei. So Rosh Yeshiva once told that was once trying to persuade a Talmud that was in his mid-20s to get married already. So he told him, if you're going to be marach by Shemayin and Esrei, you're gonna miss kedusha.
All right, I got it. All right.
Do you need Marvin for Minyan tonight?
Right now we have four people. I don't know who's coming, but if you want to send Marvin, we'd love to have him. Now, all right, let me just read a little bit from one of the daps here, and then that'll be it, I think, for tonight. This relates to what we said the other day.
He's coming.
Okay, so this relates to what we said the other day about a person. By the way, you asked me about a Tanis Chalom Fern, right? Fern?
Yep. I did.
Remember you asked me, you said, how can you fast Tanis Chalom? It was known
without the declaration.
Tanis. Yeah. Right. So I spoke to Rabbi Sarfati today and Rabbi Sobolovsky. And Rabbi Sarfati, you know, he teaches it at the yeshiva, and also Rabbi Sobolovsky, the Rosh Yeshiva there. So Rabbi Sobolovsky was saying to me that Tanis Chalom is in a different situation, like because of the seriousness of it. In other words, the idea is like I'm not just like fasting. In other words, that I have Kabbalah's Tanis ahead of time. You know, I understand it's not just like I'm not eating lunch. It's a fast, but because of the nature of a Tanis Chalom, you know what's occurred, it's like understood that that's a fast. So it comes out that you're right. There is no Kabbalah's Tanis with it. All right, now the Yeah, okay, now, we said that a person has to have Kabbalah's Tanis, and the Gemara derives it from the Pasuk, says, Tashut Tzom, which is declare a fast. So what exactly is the Kabbalah's Tanis? So the Shulchan Aruch writes, and the person says, Hareini b'tani yachid machar, yirason shtei tefilatim yom tanitim kubelet, that would be the Kabbalah's Tanis. Now, and then we said if a person fasts without a Kabbalah's Tanis, it's like a nothing, then if you look in certain Sidurim, you'll see in the Nusach Kabbalah's Tanis, it adds on that the person with Kabbalah's Tanis, Lineder. So this was done with over the course of years, and a number of people analyzed it and said that this is a big mistake, it's not right. Pumfakir, that a Tanis that a Tanis you can only move Kabbalah through a Neder, and a person who's been Kabbalah Tanis Bli Neder, that's like he hasn't said anything. In other words, that undercuts his Kabbalah's Tanis if he says it's Bli Neder.
Now, but then that means that based on yesterday, you can swap it out more easily if you say Bli Neder.
Yeah, but he's saying like that you're you know undercutting your statement, and he's saying it's Bli Neder, so that undercuts the Kabbalah's Tanis. Now, the Kabbalah's Tanis is like absolutely when you accept it upon yourself. But if you look at the Hataras and Darim and Erev Rosh Hashanah, they say in the Moda'a, and you've got to become the Habakol and Darim, Chus Midrei Tanis the Shat Mincha. Because if in Mechakila your Mabakel is Neder, it's not considered a Tanis. In other words, in the Moda'a, you say, I'm Mabakel any Tanis, any Darim I may make, except for I'm not Mabakel. You know, like the Kabbalah's Tanis, he's such a Shat Mincha. Now, what should a person do if he's very weak, but he wants to, you know, fast, but he's afraid that he won't be able to go through with this fast? So the Chidah has an idea. He suggests that he should say at the time of the Kabbalah's Tanis that he's Mekabel the Tanis with a Tanai, that if he says the Mizmor, the Davin Hashem Roi Lo Echsar, he can be Mafsik his Tanis. There's a whole Karifas with this. So, in other words, he's been Kabbalah Tanis, but on the Tanai, that if he says this parak, then he's out of it. So, the person can always make a Tanai, that if something occurs, that it'll, you know, ab initio, it'll become clear that, you know, retroactively it wasn't a Tanis. But
that's so much better than Blinetta.
All right, one second. The Sidurim of the Eidos Mizrah. It says that Nusach is printed for persons with Kabbalah Tanis Yachid. I haven't seen that, but he says apparently some of the Sephardic Sidurim has it that way. But on the other hand, the Chassam Sofer writes in the name of his Rebbe, which is Rav Nachman Adler, that if a person is with Kabbalah Tanis the way we just said, that's not considered a Tanis Shalim. Because that Tanis, again, is dependent on the Ratzon of the Metana, and that's in the dark of Tanis Shaud. It's not really Makabel the Tanis. So the Chasam Sofer does not like that Eitzah. All right. I think that's going to be it for tonight. When we end recording.